Welcome, and thank you for standing by. Today's conference will be done in open forum. If you do not have a mute button but would like to mute your line, you may do so by pressing star six. Pressing star six a second time would reopen your line. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objection, you may disconnect at this time. And now I'd like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Tom Wallace. Sir, you may begin.
All right, thank you. Hi, everyone. So welcome to the ClearQuest 7-1 open mic call. My name is Tom Wallace. I'm the technical team lead for the Rational Change Management side of the house. On the call with me as moderators, Sridhar Rella. He is one of the ClearQuest Web developers, as well as Sam Padgett. He's also one of the ClearQuest Web 7.1 developers. Yuhong Yin, she is one of the CM Server developers. So if you haven't seen the information about the CM Server call, there'll be one next week. We're trying to limit this one specifically to ClearQuest 7.1 questions. We did want to have Yuhong involved, though. From the technical support side, we have two of our ClearQuest technical support engineers. There's Latasha Howe and David Sampson. The purpose of this call is to give our clients a chance to interact with our support team and our development team, share some knowledge or some of your experiences with ClearQuest 7.1 web. So first thing I'm going to do is turn it over to Sridhar, but before I do that, a couple of points. So as the moderator said, all the lines are open. If you don't have a question or aren't speaking, please keep yourself on mute just to reduce any background noise. Secondly, when you are speaking, just identify who you are, what company you're with, and then ask any questions or make any comments that you have. And just to be really clear, this is not a technical troubleshooting forum. If you do have technical issues, please feel free to open up a PMR or contact me directly after the call. We can make sure that your issue gets into the right hands. So with all that said, I'm going to turn it over to Sridhar Rella to give a brief introduction.
Thanks, Tom. Tom, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, right. Hello, everybody. As Tom mentioned, I'm Sridhar Rella. I'm the dev lead and architect for the ClearQuest Web. What we'll do, we also have Sam Padgett, who is one of our very key and very important team member on our web team. And Tom, do we have Jack?
As far as I know, Jack has not joined yet.
Okay. So we have more folks, including Yuhong from CM Server, who are all very key members of the team. So what we'll do is we'll do a quick 5-minute talk. What I'll explain you why we have done we have completely rewritten ClearQuest Web in 7.1 release, and then open up for questions so that you could ask and you can share your experience and we could have a very interactive discussion on ClearQuest Web. So, I'm hearing an echo. So for 7.1 release, prior to that, you must have noticed that ClearQuest Web UI is kind of in the old style where we kind of generate a bunch of HTML and render it on a browser. But we had that web UI for almost around 5 years, and in this time frame, you must have noticed that there's a lot of innovation and new technologies that has evolved in the web application space, and we had a lot of requests from customers to enhance the usability of our ClearQuest Web UI. So what we did in 7.1 release is we took a step back and we kind of re-architected the entire web UI presentation tier. And we started adapting the new technologies like Ajax and a lot of JavaScript toolkits. One of the things that we chose was Dojo. And we rewrote the entire presentation tier for ClearQuest Web. One of the primary reasons why we did that is we wanted to greatly improve the end user productivity when they're using our web UI. We want to bring a lot of richness in the web UI and also provide some level of end-user customization within the web UI. So some of those were the primary factors that drove us to make that decision. And also from a capability perspective, we have taken a little bit we have actually taken it beyond just usability by supporting REST interfaces so that you could access the API, you know, open APIs to get CQ information. And also, you could, if you have a mashup tools, you can actually create some situational applications with ClearQuest information. So while we have been so focused on trying to do the presentation tier, we also made a big change on the server side. We now have a new common server infrastructure for ClearQuest and ClearCase, which we call as Change Management Server, which we call a CM server. That's what Yuhang is the lead for this group, and she is on the call. I mean, I leave details because Yuhang will cover in the next session. So basically what I try to explain you is one of the primary goals was to improve the usability, improve the scalability because of the new infrastructure. And while we are trying to do it, we address majority of your RFEs that are actually sitting in our ClearQuest backlog. So with that, that was a primary motivations and reasons why we had completely rewritten our new web UI. And I can go in detail about user feature by feature and all the capabilities, but I leave this towards the end, and we will open it up for questions. So, Tom, you could encourage for questions.
Sure. So if anyone has questions or just any experiences or comments about your work with ClearQuest Web 7.1, take yourself off mute, introduce yourself, and we'll see how much we can help you.
Peter Schneider.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
All right. My biggest question is I've gone out to the 7.1 Info Center, and I'm looking at trying to convert a very rich schema environment over to the web client. And I'm kind of a little bit put out by the lack of support for controls and hook types. For example, I didn't even see value change hooks listed in there at all as being supported for any control type.
So when you say you have a rich schema, are you migrating from a Windows native client environment to a web client, and this is the first time you're trying to access a web environment?
Yes, that's and I've been involved with doing a web client in the past, but that was about 7-8 years ago.
Okay.
And basically, you created the schema to the web client when you were doing it from scratch and like that. But this is a schema that's been in place for over probably 3-4 years and has a lot of capability and functionality that people still want to be able to use, but
yeah,
we'd like to have the benefit of not having to do a native rollout every time there's an upgrade to the tool.
Yeah, I think this is an inevitable situation that every customer would run in when they're trying to move from a native client environment to the web. The first thing is what you're trying to do is you're trying to move from a desktop, single-threaded, single-user environment to a multi-user server-side platform. So your schema will actually be running at the server. So there are some sacrifices that we have to do to take advantage of zero-footprint client. The first thing is some of the hooks that we have today, I think there is enough documentation about what are supported and what's not. But whatever we have, it has been there for almost, I think it's a little more than 4 years now. We haven't made big changes in it. All the hooks that make sense in a web environment, in a multi-user situation, we support them in the web. Some of the value change hooks, for example, a text box, as you are trying to enter this text, we don't want to have a server round trips for every key that you press. So some of those things were descoped for the web client. But there is, we have introduced a concept called web dependency hook. So if there is a dependency on a value change, you have to explicitly call or set a web dependency hook. So there's enough documentation. So probably Dave Sampson or Tom, somebody could send you a link pointer to this.
Yeah, because like I said, it may be out there, but I'm not. It's hard to determine what's current because it doesn't say what version it's current for on a lot of them. And the one that I found was basically the 7.1 Information Center, and there was just basically a couple of areas or basically one page on there that concerned hooks, you know, for it. And like I said, it didn't indicate value change hooks at all. It said it only supported three control types for choice hooks, that field validation hooks were no longer being supported, but were not being supported on the web, just record validation, and things like that. But, we use the value change hooks a lot. Just to give you an example, we've got around 146 value change hooks across 19 record types.
Hi, Peter. This is David Sampson in ClearQuest support. I'm not sure exactly which documentation you read, but in general, if the schema works in 7.0 web architecture, it should work in 7.1 web architecture, but it's definitely something that you have to test because of the changes that were made. But, I mean, value change hooks in general are supported as long as you have the web dependency, and it sounds like what you read may have been incomplete. In general, if it worked before in 7.01 web, as long as you test it, it should work in 7.1 web.
Well, it hasn't worked in any web client yet. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
It's just on the native client right now, and we're looking to try to move it over to the web client. So if someone could send me the link or something like that to the most current and the most full documentation on the web, I'd really appreciate it.
Peter, what company are you calling in from?
GDC or GDC4S, General Dynamics, basically.
Okay, we'll look you up.
Yeah, I am on your in your system too, because I've called in PMRs before.
Thank you.
But that's basically what my question was. So if someone can get me that information, that'd be great, and I can follow up later on with someone if I have any other questions.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Other questions?
Hi, this is Vladimir Kosoy from MJF. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My question is, we're right now running ClearQuest 7.0.1, and about 98% of our clients are using the web. And the question is, we are planning to upgrade to 7.1. Now, if we upgrade only the web client to 7.1, but not the schema itself, is that possible? Like, will users still be able to use?
Yes. Dave, you want to take the question, or I can answer that?
Sure. I mean, in general, as long as you're using a supported feature level, you'll be able to use the old clients as well as the 7.1 web client. 7.1 may have some defects that are fixed or some new features, so you may want to test the interaction of having a 7.1 web client interface as well as pre-7.1 clients out there at the same time hitting the same database. But you don't need to upgrade the schema to take advantage of using the 7.1 web client, but it is worth testing before you move ahead with that.
Okay, so I can remain at feature 6, I believe, right?
Correct.
And not upgrade to feature 7, and considering some testing, everything should be working. And I can do the upgrade at any point of time later on, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Now, what about the designer? Would I need to use the ClearQuest 7.0 designer to make any changes to the scheme, or can I use the 7.1? Because I've heard that there are a lot of bugs with designer 7.1.
Do we have Mike Tabb or somebody on the call?
Well, I can just jump on and start. This is David Sampson, by saying that when you install the 7.1 software, you have the 7.1 designer, which is Eclipse-based, which is the new one, and you also have the 7.1 designer, which is based on the older design. So you can use either of the 7.1 designers, the Eclipse-based or the non-Eclipse-based, in designing your schema. I'm not sure if your question is, should you use the Eclipse-based versus the non-Eclipse-based versus a pre-7.1 designer?
It's actually everything of the, all of the above.
So at this point, you could continue to use the pre 7.1 designer. We only have two designers. One is the MFC or Windows-based designer, and we have an Eclipse-based designer that we introduced in 7.1. So at a start until you get up and running, you can continue to use Windows-based, MFC-based designer, and you can move to 7.1, and then you could basically try out 7.1 designer and understand if actually what we have there is sufficient enough for you to get your job done.
Okay, but if I were to use the 7.0, I guess 0.1 designer,
mm-hmm.
I can still use it, right?
Yeah. Designer is basically, it's a schema definition, right? The schema definition, once it's done, what we have done in 7.1 is we have rewritten the entire presentation tier. We haven't changed the core CQ engine or models at all. So it will work fine. You don't have to. It's no mandatory requirement that you have to use 7.1 Designer for 7.1 Web UI.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Matt Ward from Capital Group. I just wanted to be clear on that previous point that if we don't upgrade our infrastructure to 7.1, we can use a 7.1 Designer client to edit and commit changes to our older schemas. There's no issue there?
Well, I would like to say that until all the clients are upgraded, you may want to continue using the 7.01 Designer, as the newer packages that were introduced in the 7.1 version wouldn't be supported by the older clients. So to avoid accidentally introducing a newer package, you may want to continue using the 7.01 version of the Designer until all clients are upgraded. Or if you're extremely careful not to introduce a new package, you could potentially use the 7.1 Designer, but you have to be careful.
I appreciate that clarification.
All right, so to answer your question? All right, so I will take silence as yes and open it up to the next question. There's got to be questions out there. I know we've seen tons of PMRs on this, so don't be shy.
This is Sean Megan from Egan McAllister Associates.
Hey, Sean.
I actually have a follow-up question in regards to the last comment. With the 7.1 CQ Web, is it possible to have some schemas that are on the new feature level 7, access from the new version, and also other schemas that are still on feature level 5 and still access both of them from the web client?
So I think one thing we want to make very clear is because you want to take advantage of 7.1 Web UI, there is no requirement for you to upgrade your schema or feature levels for your ClearQuest schemas. You can keep your ClearQuest schemas at the feature level they are today, and all you have to do is just upgrade your web server instance, and you can connect to the same repository and able to use it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because we have about a half dozen different actual schema repositories, and only three of the six are planning on actually upgrading their feature level.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing that we have is we have introduced a feature level 7 in 7.1 release, which is, again, an optional to customers, right? Only if you want to upgrade to feature level 7, you can do. Otherwise, you can stay in 6 or 5, whatever you want. The advantages of features level 7 are pretty huge because we have a full text search feature introduced. And to have full text search, you need feature level 7. By all means, full text search is one of the greatest features that itself is worth upgrading.
Gotcha.
The caveat is if you already use multi-site, feature level 5 or 6 is sufficient for full text search using ClearQuest 7.1.
Mm-hmm. Well, that requires some configuration. But yeah, you're correct.
All right, more questions or comments?
This is Peter Schneider again. I just have one follow-up question on schema support for the web, and that is we extensively use dynamic hooks in this shop, basically the execute function out of VBScript. We have a lot of hook code in a dedicated table, and inside the hook inside ClearQuest, it does a query on that table and pulls in the code and executes it in place there. That should still work okay with the web, wouldn't it?
You are not trying to connect to something which is accessed through the local machine, right? Like, for example, you're not trying to expect a data source names or something being available on the client machine, right?
No, this is all internal to ClearQuest itself.
Okay, then you should not have any problem. As long as you don't create any dependency on the client machine, and this whatever hook that you have written, if it could run on a remote server machine, it should work fine.
Okay. Thank you.
But one thing is, we do not support interactivity to the client box. Like, for example, typically one of the big challenge that we have noticed is people who have written their schemas for clients which are desktop machines, they kind of use a lot of alert boxes and input boxes. If you're running in a multi-user server environment, those won't work.
Well, I knew that from the last time that I worked with the web, that kind of brings up the other question is, on some of our validation hooks, we use that right now, and I knew that I was going to have to put in the code that says, hey, if you're running on the web, skip this. But what can I do in place of that so that if I need to send a response back to the user that they can see something? It again, in the documentation I was looking at, it wasn't really clear on that.
Okay.
It just said that if you return a string, it'll display it to the user or something along those lines.
Yeah, it depends.
So what
on
do I use in place of the message box?
There are multiple ways. I think this is all available, again, in the documentation. You just need to get the right pointers.
Okay.
Good.
If it's available in the documentation, you get me that link, then I'll be fine.
Yeah.
So someone has to have more questions or just experiences. What do you like about the new web? What do you not like? What would you like to see? You have the developers, so take advantage of this.
This is Pat Martin from Northrop Grumman.
Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
Hi, good. I have not used the ClearQuest web in many years, and so when I was looking at the information center, hold on, I have it here. Okay, the information center, it talks about, it talks about the change management server, and then it also has a section for the web. Can you just explain to me, are they two different things, or it's together?
Sorry, Tom, could you repeat the question?
Right, so the question, I think at a high level, the difference between CQ Web and CM Server.
Yeah, I'm new to this, so if you could explain that.
So you have been using ClearQuest Web 7.0 version today? What version of CQ Web are you using today?
No, I haven't used CQ Web in like 5 years, so
okay.
I'm at a new company and I would like to use it, and we're at 7.1.
Okay. So basically you could consider CM Server is primarily the server-side infrastructure which actually runs the CQ Core, which is actually your... if you are using CQ Client, CQ Client is a MFC, if you're in Windows, then it's an MFC client which kind of runs the CQ Core engine in the same process. So you could consider CM Server is a multi-user server-side infrastructure for the CQ engine. And what you see here is CQ Web has two components. One is the client component and the server component. The server component is CM Server. The client component is basically the Web UI application, which is basically, you know, the newer, in 7.1 we have used Dojo toolkit, which actually uses a bootstrap to download a ton of JavaScript into your browser, which gives you a very rich user experience for this ClearQuest client.
So the CM server, you know, what I did see, it talked about ClearCase Remote Client. Is it still using that?
CM server is a common infrastructure. Yuhong, you want to take a stab at it? I'm not sure if Yuhong is online. So CM server is our common infrastructure for ClearCase and ClearQuest. So if you have a ClearCase, if you are using CCRC and ClearQuest in your organization, you can manage them with the same server infrastructure. If you're not using CCRC, then you don't have to worry about it because the server could act individually or together.
I plan to use both.
Yeah, then CM server is a very good infrastructure for even low cost of ownership.
In a multi-site environment?
Yeah.
And that's not additional licenses?
No, it will use your current licenses. Anytime you do a CC operation, it will use CC license. For CQ operation, CQ license.
Okay. Okay, I'll read up more on it, some information.
Yeah, and also there's next week, I think we have a CM server session, so I would encourage you to attend that.
I'll call in for that. Thank you.
And Pat, this is Tom Wallace. If you need any information that I can help you with, you probably have my email either through the developer works or the mass email I sent out, so just feel free to get in touch with me and we can try to move this forward as well.
Okay. Well, I've never joined the webcast before, so this is very good timing for me.
Perfect. It's meant to be.
All right, thank you.
No problem.
Hi, this is Paula Jordan from Sears.
Hey, Paula.
Hey. I'd like to understand more about the REST URI and the ability to get ClearQuest data through a web interface.
Sure. Sam, do you want to take that?
Sure. I can take this. Are you familiar with REST in general?
No.
No, like, yes.
So REST is... REST is an architectural style where every record, every query, every resource in the system has a URL associated with it. So if you want to get information, you would use the various HTTP verbs to work with those resources. So you would perform a GET on the URL to fetch data about it. You would perform an HTTP PUT on the URL to update it. And so forth. So in our Web 7.1 release, we introduced new RESTful APIs for working with ClearQuest data. When you use the new dropdown, you'll see that there's a REST URI in place of where there was a create shortcut in the previous web client. So you can use these to actually build up URL to different resources, and then you can get the data in different formats. So you can either get HTML or XML or JSON. Now, in recent versions, we've introduced a new REST-based API that's based on a open specification, and I would encourage you to use this if you want to do any programming around these APIs. So there's a website you can go to. It's open-services.net, and it describes these OSLC REST APIs. And they're the same REST APIs available through Rational Team Concert as well as ClearQuest, and they're the APIs we're using internally to build integration between the different Rational products. I would definitely encourage you to check that out. I can certainly work more with you offline if you want to get into a little more detail about how they work, what capabilities are available, what you can do. I don't know, Tom, is there a way we could work offline on that?
Sure.
Okay.
Definitely. I know how to get in touch with Paula, I think.
Boy, is that an understatement.
Yeah, we can definitely set something up. We'll be chatting after this call anyway,
yeah,
so we'll work on that.
I'd be happy to go into more detail, but, you know, it's a pretty rich subject, and it can get quite technical. So.
All right. This is Pete. If you could, you know, contact me on that as well, I'd be interested in that too, because I may
sure.
have to use that to help get around some things I may not be able to replicate from our current schema.
Okay. Certainly.
Thank you.
And if there are others that are interested in that topic, again, I think most people here at least have my email address. Just shoot me an email, let me know, and we can make sure we get back to you. All right. Who's next?
This is Chris Chappell with Cummins Incorporated.
Hi, Chris.
I'll preface everything first saying I really like the new interface. I like the idea of the template approach as well, and I was just wondering, is there a way through the CQ Web as of the administrator or the super user to load in some default templates that all users can see and take advantage of?
That's a very good request, and thanks for the appreciation. We thank you again. The template stuff is definitely something, you know, we thought it's a natural extension to what we already have. I don't know if we already have an RFE on it or not, but we should check, and if it's not, we should create one.
Okay. And likewise to the previous request, I'm definitely really interested in the REST API to see how we can take advantage of it here within our space as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's so someone actually just made a really good point that we may want to set up a similar call like this one for the REST API.
Sure.
In addition to, you know, getting in touch with people offline.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Next, who's next?
Hi, this is Vladimir Kosoy again from MJS.
Hi.
Is there a user guide for ClearQuest Web available anywhere on the Info Center or somewhere else?
So, Dave, do you know anything about this?
I mean, in general, in the Info Center, it should discuss CQ Web. I don't know if every single part of it is in detail, but a significant part of it is in detail. For example, it shows you how to use the new preferences in CQ Web, and it talks about some of the key elements that are in the new 7.1 CQ Web. In general, the Info Center should be your first place to look.
Okay.
So I would like to understand your motivation behind user guide. What kind of information are you trying to look for? I mean, what are you expecting in user guide? Because some of the information may be in Info Center, so I'm curious to know, you know, what distinguishes in the user guide.
Well, currently we have a user guide that we distribute to the clients. Every time we have a new user, we give them the user guide that we have created, and it's basically a bunch of screenshots of the user interface and how do you create a query, how do you run a query, and then some information which is specific to the schema that we have designed. So what I was wondering is the first part, which is navigating the web client and taking advantage of all the new UI features, or how do you run a query now? Is there a different way to create a query? So that instead of us basically creating a customized user guide for that, maybe there is something available, and we simply take that, add all of the schema-related information, such as the fields that the user needs to fill in, right, and then just distribute it to the client.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I think that information should have been in Info Center, as Dave mentioned, but what you're asking is very customized to your needs, right? Because it all the screenshots depend on your schema.
Yeah, I mean, in general, when, you know, the user logs in, right? Then
yeah.
There are a bunch
yeah.
of queries. Or, like, again, I haven't installed the 7.1 yet, so I'm not sure how difficult is it or what the user interface is.
Okay.
So simply, from a user perspective, like if there is something available, maybe there is, I don't know,
Yeah, I think that's an action item we could take, Tom.
I would suggest that you open a PMR so that you can explore it with the support team, because at this point, if it's not an info center exactly what you're looking for, we'd have to see if it's a defect or an RFE, and then we could look on getting some engineering work on that.
Okay. And a second question. In terms of the exporting the information, have any improvements been made in 7.1? Because in 7.0, I believe that there's you can export a certain number of rows into a text. I believe it brings you basically a text window,
mm-hmm.
a window based on text. So is it any different in 7.1?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of 7.1 is we have a myriad number of new features. One of the features is now actually you can say to export the results of data directly into an Excel sheet. So it will create an Excel and ask you to download the Excel sheet, which is properly formatted for you in the cells. And we still preserve the old, user chosen delimiter for the export in the text file.
Okay, that's perfect because this is what our users have been asking for. Do I need to upgrade the schema?
No, nothing is required. For taking advantage of the presentation, as I mentioned earlier, you don't even have to touch your schema. Just upgrade your web server, that's all you need to do.
Okay. The next question is about the reporting. I'm not sure if it's related to this, but if you can maybe give a very brief overview of how CQ Web and reporting would work. Can you just create reports?
Yeah, I can explain, but anybody else want to take a stab at it?
I can start off. This is David Sampson. There's
mm-hmm.
three models of reporting that are supported in ClearQuest 7.1. You have the legacy model, which is the Crystal Reports data push model, and that can also be executed on CQ Web with additional configuration. And then there's two new models that are supported, which is Crystal Data Pull, and there's also now BERT reporting. And I'll let someone else go into detail about it, but there's now three models, the original model, which was Crystal Data Push, and now you have Crystal Data Pull and BERT Data Pull.
So basically what we tried to do in 7.1 is we provided some drivers for the enterprise reporting engines for BERT and Crystal, where actually you can generate reports outside of a ClearQuest context. So basically you can launch your BERT engine and use the ClearQuest provider and connect it to CQ database and able to pull information off of ClearQuest. So we have given more capability and more empowerment to the end users. Is like, you know, you don't have to be limited by the ClearQuest container to generate the reports.
The benefit of the two new models that we're supporting for Crystal Reports to pull the data from ClearQuest and BERT to pull the data is that you still get to go through ClearQuest authentication. So you don't bypass the authentication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. This is Julie Daca. I'm with Highmark. With Crystal and 7.1, is Crystal 10 still usable, or does it need to be Crystal 11 or 11.5? And I was under the impression from previous discussions that the push model was no longer going to be available. I'm hearing differently now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's yes and no. The reason why is we do not ship the runtime bits that are required for push model along with our ClearQuest deployment. What we have is we have enough documentation on how you could actually get those runtime jars directly from business objects and drop in and make it work. There are some legal reasons why we are no longer shipping the runtime bits.
So a key point is that if you want to continue to use the legacy data push model, it's still supported and it's free. It's just that you have to do some additional configuration steps to get it to work. But the actual runtimes are still free to download from business objects, SAP business objects, through an agreement that we have with them.
This is Peter Schneider again.
anyone explain to me, we do a lot of email notification, and it's all homegrown right now. We're looking at possibly going to the email package for that. What would be the things to look out for with the web client, and what would probably be better to use the package, or would we be able to make our homegrown stuff work if we avoid the aspects of the interactivity on the server that you were talking about earlier?
So how is your homegrown email system plugged in?
Basically, it's a global hook code that gets generated by whichever record, usually an action might generate it. When someone's doing an action, when they hit the apply, the notification hook kicks off a global hook that will then format the email, and then it goes through another hook that validates it, and then uses the API to send.
So you use some CDONTS library or something?
I'm sorry?
Do you use CDONTS library from Microsoft or... Anyhow, so basically the thing is, if I understand right, your hook actually gets executed on the client desktop, right? So when that hook code tries to send an email notification, you kind of send it off to an exchange through the identity of the user who is actually running the hook in his context, right? So,
well, I don't think that's necessarily true, because in a lot of cases it's kind of like an automated hook, and if they want an email back from it, they put themselves in as one of the people receiving it.
Yeah, I think this is a specific case. We probably have to take it offline. But what I think is, as long as you have contained the email notification within the hook, and if that hook mechanism could work in a server context, I think you should not see any problem.
Kim?
Hi, this is Vladimir again. A follow-up question to the email notifications. In 7.0.1, now we're using the email notifications provided by ClearQuest. So I guess the java.exe process is being called when an email is being sent. And one of the things we have to do is we have to exclude that process from the firewall, because otherwise the email notifications will not be sent. So my question is, in 7.1, is that still the same process being used to send the email?
Yeah, in 7.1 we have not touched anything related to email packaging or mechanisms. So it's going to be the same experience that you have prior to 7.1.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, this is Narayanan Puti. I work with the Department of Labor project, and we have installed ClearQuest 7.1 here, and I think in the call earlier you mentioned about a non-Eclipse-based designer, and I have installed the full component of this ClearQuest 7.1, but I don't see that non-Eclipse-based designer.
Yeah, it's not in your program options. You have to go to ClearQuest directory, and you'll find cqdesigner.exe.
Depending on how your pathing is set up, too, you should be able to just run it, type in CQ Design, and it would bring up the old designer. So if you start run CQ Design.
Oh, okay. So it's not like just appearing under the.
Yeah, it's not in program options in if you're on the Windows.
Oh, okay. And my second question is related to this BERT reporting tool. Like, I had read from the info center that 7.1 supports, and you mentioned earlier in this call as well. So is there information in the info center? I'm trying to take advantage of that BERT reporting tool, but it's so new to me. So is it also part of our standard installation, or is it something I have to install separately?
We do install the necessary server-side components that are required to realize that, but we also need to do certain configuration and need to get some BERT components and stuff. It's all well-documented. Tom or Dave or somebody could actually send you the pointers to it from Info Center.
I would suggest that you open a PMR and the support team can help to guide you to that.
Oh, okay. So there are some probably additional installations required to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hi, this is Matthew from IBM, Matthew Quimby. Julie, this is just a follow-up on one of the parts of your Crystal Reports question. The current supported versions of Crystal Report in 7.1 is Crystal Report's 11, and we support Release 1 and Release 2. Release 1 does have to be on at least Service Pack 4, and that is for the data push model. For data pull, it's a little different, but if you're still going to be doing data push, those are the required versions for that particular reporting setup. And if you have any questions or clarifications regarding that support, you could always open up a PMR with us, and we can help you out with that.
Okay, I appreciate that. A follow-up question on that, as far as the data, I'm getting backwards now, the data pool, that comes with 7.1?
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is install 11, and you got the pool. But if you want to continue to use the push, you have to get the information from business objects.
Yeah, you need to do a little bit extra configuration and
right.
get the runtime bits.
Now, if you're using 10 currently, is it or the report formats easily converted to 11 without any having to redo them?
I don't know answer to that. Does anybody know answer to that?
This is Chris Chappell at Cummins. We're using Crystal Reports 10 with 7.1 on the web with no problem. I'm not saying we're going to support you, but I know we converted all our stuff to 10.
In general, reports that are created with Crystal 10, I believe, should still execute. But I don't. I'm almost 100% certain that it's not supported to actually use the Crystal 10 designer for authoring data push reports with ClearQuest 7.1. But in terms of execution of existing reports, as long as SAP Business Objects considers them compatible, I think that they still should execute.
The issue that's been encountered whenever some of these have changed is when you had .15 of the tools, when you went up to the next version, you had to recreate because the minute you go to touch a report format and modify it, you're not able to do it with the new version because it's at the old version.
Julie, it's Matthew again. I do recall a lot of issues with that when we started supporting Crystal 10 up from Crystal 8.5. There was a pretty significant jump in the way that the authoring of those reports was done with Crystal Reports. I don't, in my experience, I have not seen that issue nearly as much when you're talking about making a jump from 10 to 11. Sometimes individual problems happen, but if something in that realm does happen, you can always open up a PMR and we can help guide you through that.
Okay, thanks.
All right, just a time check. We have about 10 minutes left, so if you have questions, get them in now.
Yes.
This is Leonard and Putty. Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Sterling Ferguson with Tell Labs.
Hey, Sterling.
Hi. I just have a follow-up on the CQ report server and the SSL for ClearQuest Web. Is it possible? I've been doing a lot of looking around at the Jazz site. I wanted to know, is it possible that someone within IBM or IBM support can do a video on how to set up CQ report or SSL so that we can get it working with the web server? Although you have documentation, an example is I currently have a PMR open because although I followed the CQ report documentation on what to set up, I can't get it to work. And so is it possible that when I set up the Jazz-based tools, they have a lot of videos, and I'm able to follow along and get this stuff running fairly quickly. I just wanted to know, is it possible? Is that something that could be added as an item for the ClearQuest team?
Hi, Sterling. This is Sridhar. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, thanks. That's a good idea, actually. I think at RSC we did talk about some of these initiatives. I think we have some thought process on it. I think our management understands it. I cannot commit, but there is a desire to create some YouTube videos just like the one that I had created for CQ Bridge on Jazz.
Right.
There is a thought process on how to create more of these and have it available for customers to just look at the video and able to do certain things. But I cannot give you a guarantee on the timeline, but definitely it's in the radar.
Okay.
And I'd just like to throw in from the support side, we have IBM Education Assistant modules, and we'll definitely suggest that as a potential module.
Okay, and I'd just like to say that that bridge assisted me in getting that set up with our RTC, so thank you.
Oh, great. You're using CQ Bridge, Sterling?
Yes, we've been testing it out over the past week or two.
Great.
Yeah, this is Narayanan Poiti again.
Mm-hmm.
In the 7.1, I guess this was earlier in the earlier versions as well. Like in the schema repository here, we have at least four different user databases. So when we want to create like a new user database, the logical name still has that 5-character limit. So will that be removed in sometime in the future, or?
You want a honest answer? The honest answer is most likely it won't be changed. But if you have a concern, I think you could submit a PMR or something, and that will follow the standard process.
Oh, okay. So because sometimes since we are trying to leverage the same schema repository, we have not yet planned out for a new schema repository. We are having some issues with this, having to stay within that 5-character limit.
Okay.
So I think we have time for about one more question, and then I'll do a quick wrap-up. So who's it going to be? Who wants to end this off?
This is Chris Chappell with Cummins again.
Hey, Chris.
Just wanting to get information on hardware, specifically around on CQ Web 7.1. We're really wanting to use a VM image rather than a full dedicated box. What's the known performance? Any known performance issues running CQ Web 7.1 on a virtual environment?
I don't know any of anything, but I think we have our performance team who has published some benchmarks, so probably we should get back to them and see if we have anything that we can share here.
On 7.1 specifically?
Yeah, on 7.1. I think we do have some performance numbers, but they are not on a virtual environment that you're asking.
Right.
I don't know if we have some benchmark numbers published on a virtual environment, but we could check with our performance team.
Sridhar?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Mike Warfield with Mentor Graphics.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
I've been working with Grant Covell, who's on the performance team, mm-hmm. basically because of the performance problem we're having.
Mm-hmm.
And what he had told me, paraphrasing, is that you guys are also looking at transitioning to a predominantly VM environment for their benchmarking.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're using a class of VM similar to VMware ESX on Windows, then you should be okay. And he's got some standard caveats as far as, file I/O is fast enough, and you got plenty of bandwidth, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's possible he may be doing this as part of a DPP presentation.
Oh, okay.
So in general, he wasn't really aware of any specific VM issues because that was I had exactly the same concern. The performance, was it possibly related to it being a VM versus physical? And this was yesterday, so
okay.
It's recent.
Yeah. So thanks, Mike. Thanks for jumping and clarifying that.
Yes. Thanks for sharing.
All right, so we have about 2 minutes. I'm just going to do a quick wrap-up. First, I just want to thank everyone for coming and participating. As I said, there will be another call a week from today, same time. I believe it's actually the same conference information on CM service. That will be on the ClearCase and ClearQuest, as was mentioned earlier. CM server is kind of the general back-end web server for both of those products. So we're hoping for another big audience, a lot of questions. So if you do have further questions on this topic or feedback on this or an idea of another topic you'd like to see us run an open mic on, as I said, I think everyone has my contact information. Just please get in touch with me and let me know. I believe also before you hang up the call that you'll be asked one quick question on how helpful this web conference was to you. So answer honestly, and again, any other feedback beyond the survey, send to me.
So I think at this point
we're ready for your polling question, sir?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. The question is, how useful did you find this call? Please press star 1 to answer very useful, star 2 to answer somewhat useful, star 3 to answer not useful. Please begin voting at this time.
Which one?
1. Well, that kind of depends on whether they send me the links to the quote full documentation.
Okay, I will end the voting now. Thank you.
All right, so thanks again, everyone, and hopefully talk to you next week.